This episode of the Golf Unfiltered podcast is brought to you by WorldwideGolfShops.com. Be sure to go out to WorldwideGolfShops.com for all of your equipment, apparel, and accessory needs. They've even got training aids. They've got all the great stuff from all the brands that you hear on our podcast every week. So once again, that is WorldwideGolfShops.com.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, Adam Fonseca.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. Hope everyone's still hanging in there. I think we're getting through this thing. At the time of this recording, things are starting to look a little bit better. Not only weather-wise, but also with this pesky pandemic. At any rate, you know where to find us all over social media, at Golf Unfiltered. You could send us an email, adam@golfunfiltered.com. Hello to our friends who are listening to this on the THP mobile app, and to our friends over at thehackersparadise.com, and of course, hello to our friends over at Cleveland Srixon and Zegzio. Folks, this is a little bit of another local-themed podcast episode where we speak with Mr. Troy Newport. He is the general manager over at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club here in Lamont, Illinois. Troy and I apparently live very near each other. I did not know this, but we go into a lot of detail today about not only how Cog Hill is doing, but also the golf industry in general from his perspective. Troy's been the GM over at Cog Hill for about a year as of the time of this recording. And there was some very exciting news that came out in January around the PGA Merchandise Show time, and that was that the World Long Drive Championship was coming here to Cog Hill. So then this pandemic hit, and a lot had to change. And what was really surprising, and you'll hear this in today's episode with Troy, is that while a lot changed in the world, and certainly in golf, because here in Illinois we are shelter in place, which means that you can't go out and play golf, or at least you're not supposed to, but there's still a very positive outlook for the World Long Drive, which tentatively is to take place in September 2020. So Troy and I go into all of that. We talk all about the new features at Cog Hill as well, including Top Tracer, which for those who are not aware of what that is, we go into that detail also. I really hope everyone's doing fine. I just want to say that from a personal side, because I know that I'm going a little crazy here indoors. I know it's difficult, but luckily the weather's nice. I could still go out for a walk. I cut my grass today, which it's not my favorite thing in the world to do, but at least it was something to do outside, outdoors. And I want to say also that for all of you that bought all of the hitting nets, everything is sold out. I can't find a hitting net anywhere. And I'm not even sure I could use one in my house because we have an older home and whatever. But I couldn't even try. So I'm mad at all of you. Actually, I'm happy that all of you are still supporting the golf industry in that way. I'm just being selfish because I want a damn hitting net. Anyway, that being said, I look forward to the day that I can go back out to Cog Hill, to the driving range, take part in everything that I love there, and all the great work that Troy and his team have done over the last year. So sit back and relax. Hope you enjoy this conversation with Troy Newport, the general manager over at Cog Hill. Today's episode is also brought to you by the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. No big hype, no big price, but definitely a big deal. Take advantage of their factory direct model where you cut out the middleman and get the best products shipped to your door direct from the company. They've got a demo program to try out their products before you buy, a trade-up program to get these clubs in your hands even quicker, and special financing where you can split your payment into four to make these clubs even more affordable. Go to benhogangolf.com to learn more. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. And you know what? It's not too often that I have a chance to have a local on the show, and especially someone the likes of Mr. Troy Newport. He's the general manager over there at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. And you know, Troy, it's a fantastic time for us to really have the chance to sit down and connect. I'm so glad that you're able to come on the show and talk with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I'm fairly new to this position, not new to the golf business, but new to the position, new to the area. So it's a great chance for us to talk to your listenership and just have a conversation. I love to talk about golf and the business of golf and pretty much everything that you can imagine that's related to that. So I'm looking forward to it.
longtime listeners to our show will know that I live in Lamont, Illinois, and I don't live too far from your course. And, you know, I know that you and I have connected over social media, and I'm there way too often. I just have to say, my wife will attest to that, but
right. She's the one that knows.
She's the one that knows, definitely. And so, you know, Troy, I'm just really excited to have the chance to speak with you because, you know, obviously right now with, you know, golf being on the back burner right now because of Illinois' shelter in place order. And at least at the time of this recording, that's still in effect. And we're hoping that it passes up pretty soon here. But before we get into your time at Cog Hill and how things are going, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about Troy Newport, how you got involved in the game and how you got attached to Cog Hill.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk about how you learned the game and that kind of stuff. I think for me, as an Indiana kid, I grew up in central Indiana in a farm area on a farm, and loved baseball first. Frankly, it's just be honest about it. Didn't know any golfers to say out in that area, but loved baseball. Played Little League baseball and that type of thing. Had a chance to take up the game because of one of my grandfather's friends, actually, and got really interested, and pretty much from age 13 to the time Babe Ruth baseball was over for me for that season, I never really went back to baseball. I just took up golf, and just it totally absorbed my time, as it does nowadays too. But you know, played in high school. I played in college golf at Butler University in Indianapolis. That was a great experience there, and had a choice with a degree in college about whether to stay in the golf business or go forward with the business and business degree. And it wasn't really that difficult a choice for me. I took an assistant job in Florida right out of college. And I've worked at a lot of different places. It's a gypsy style lifestyle for a lot of golf professionals, guys that follow that PGA path. And I did do that. I became a member back in 1992. And so most recently, we were looking for a chance to get back closer to home. And we were in Kansas City working for Troon Golf. I've been working for them for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. Loved that company. I'm sure your listeners know the company really well. Mm-hmm. Loved the people with the company. It was a great experience for me as a general manager to learn how they operated and get a little more sophisticated in our operations and how they did things. It was really, really efficient and really cool. But we wanted to get closer to home, and the Cog Hill opportunity came up to interview for. And our only daughter, my wife Kathy, and my only daughter Mia lives in Milwaukee. So it was a great location. I knew about Cog Hill from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I'd heard the Jemsek name, had never met any of them, and had never stepped foot on the property. But lucky enough to go through the interview process and get the job last spring. And the other part I have to add is I'm a public golf guy. I spent nine years at a private club, and I tell people I won't go back to do that unless I have to. it was public golf is how I learned the game. I learned it in a municipal golf course. It's where I feel comfortable. It's the golfers I love. So it was so Cog Hill is kind of like the top of that mountain.
So I think I know what you mean from the comment of private versus public. I used to work at a private course growing up in a nearby suburb. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is the main difference that would make you say that you're a public golf guy?
Well, first of all, that's the part of the game that I know. That's I grew up on a course where you were always felt like, you know, you felt like you belonged, even if you didn't belong, you know what I'm saying, like a private club. But my experience as a general manager at a management club or at a management company, rather, it's just a difficult world to break into, there's a little bit of an adversarial relationship with the board. Mm-hmm. They always want to push things a certain way, and you want them to do business like a business. And it was just it just wasn't the way I would expect that to be. And I had been general manager at another public course in addition to this one, and I know that experience is different. So having never been a member of a private club, it just wasn't a world I felt. I didn't feel like I was in my own skin there.
Yeah, I could totally relate with that. I'm a public golf guy too, so no worries there. And so obviously you found your way via Indiana down to Florida, then Kansas City, and now into Lamont, Illinois. And so, you know, Cog Hill obviously carries, it's a very popular name in the world of golf, not only in Illinois, but certainly just in the world of golf. I mean, there's just been so many fantastic tournaments and a lot of history there. You know, when you first started at Cog Hill, I mean, what were the expectations that you had for yourself walking in the door?
Well, it's really interesting, and I don't know, you probably met the outgoing, the gentleman who retired last fall. He had been the general manager there for 40 years. His name is Nick Mokelke, locally kind of a legend, and a guy that I, you know, came in and I knew that he was going to overlap with me. The way the Gym Six had it set up, they wanted him to stay through the season at, in the same time that I was there. Well, that, of course, can go many different ways.
Right, right.
Luckily, our personalities meshed well enough, and Nick was gracious enough to kind of let me come in and do what I felt like needed to be done, along with his backlog of information that he has about the facility and the people. And I'll never catch up with that. You know, I always tell people, I'll never, no chance of me breaking his record of 40 years, so all the pressure's off. But my expectations were that I was coming to a facility that that the owners loved, and they loved golf. And they, I going through the interview process, I could tell these weren't people who were looking to milk it for everything it was worth and walk away because they didn't engage with the game of golf. I mean, that engagement of the game of golf I've never seen at this level, you know, with the Jemsek family, and that's Frank and his daughter, Catherine, and her sister, Marla, and their brother, Joe. They eat and breathe this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I knew that, you know, if what changes we made were probably going to be difficult ones to convince, we better have our data in front of us and our information about what was going to be good about the change. But I've been really pleasantly surprised by interaction with them, and also the things we've been able to get done so far. Some of them a little less customer based, but also just trying to move our business forward and modernize it.
You know, it's interesting too, because you mentioned, of course, Mr. Jemsek and then his family, and I've gotten to know Joe a little bit over social media. And then what I really appreciate is whenever I go, even if I'm just going to hit range balls or if I'm playing, you know, one of the four courses on the property, there's Mr. Jemsek usually in his golf cart saying thank you to everybody that's playing the course. I mean, that's just, I definitely relate to what you just said about how they live and breathe this stuff.
Well, just a short story that happened today. Okay, so my daughter's here working from home for her business in Milwaukee that she works for. And we've been together, so we're doing the social distancing thing, and you know, but we've been together, the three of us. And she had to go in and scan some information at work today, and Frank came in, and you know, she got to hear firsthand. And we're keeping him kind of, you know, at distance from people. We don't want Frank to get sick or compromised in any way. But she heard firsthand. You know, he'd say, "Well, these are ideas. I got some ideas." He goes, "I don't, you know, whatever you tell me, they're wrong. I'm fine with that. I just want to give you some ideas." Now, here's an 80-year-old man who's not only asking you for your opinion, but is willing to listen to you if you shoot something of his down, because he just, you know, he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I had these ideas. I got up and wrote them down." I mean, he is that guy. And when you talk about greeting people, what I love is my favorite part of the outing is the end of the day when they come in for their meal, and he sits at the top of the walkway where people are going down to the pavilion, and like you said, literally tells everyone, "Thank you, God bless you for coming to the you know, to Cog Hill." And yeah, they don't see that stuff much anymore.
No, they certainly don't. I mean, it's Cog Hill is very much an experience for anyone that wants to experience it. I mean, you go and you just have that feeling of, you know what, you belong here. And there's a lot of people that, you know, you see all walks of life. I mean, you've had, I mean, for crying out loud, you've had huge tournaments over at Cog Hill over the years, of course, and we'll get to that here in a second, but also you've had those outings. I mean, I've played in golf outings there, and it's every man or woman or child can go and feel like they belong in this atmosphere. And I think that that's something that I would imagine, Troy, was something that was made very clear to you right when you started, that, hey, we have to protect this.
Absolutely. Well, the other part of it is that, you know, Dubs is the kind of the big gorilla in the room. Rightfully so, having all the events. And I, you know, my quick way of telling people about Dubs is Tiger won there five times. That usually gets their attention.
Right.
But you know, the other part of it is I finally got a chance to see the other golf courses and get out there and play. And being from Indiana, I know what a, you know, what a flat Indiana golf course looks like, or what a flat Illinois golf course looks like. Or, but literally 1 and 3, which are less expensive courses, and the oldest courses there, there's some beautiful spots out there. And I'm doing the sales thing here, but there's some beautiful spots. The outings really love coming back and playing those golf courses when they only play 1 and 3. Some of them don't even ever get near Dubs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those two courses, 1 and 3, get about the same amount of rounds every year. It's just like clockwork. So people enjoy them kind of equally. But it is a level of appreciation for the golfer and also for what they're looking to do. I mean, they're still trying to do things on the other courses, not just Dubs. Frank wanted to put some shorter tees in for senior players and junior players in their family golf program that they have. So last year they built some forward tees on the number 3 course that I think are going to work out really well. So he's always, and the Jimsic family is always thinking that way.
You know, and it's so evident because there is so much history at Cog Hill and there's so many great tournaments. And you referenced that Tiger's won there 5 times. Does he still have the course record at Dubs, by the way?
I don't believe so, but okay. I asked that question before, and I know at one time he did, but I'll have to research that one on you because I know Chris Pulitzer, who's our Dubs manager, has kind of our store of that information. But I'll tell you, Joe Jimsic knows it all too. So
I'll have to ask Joe too. So, but the point being though is that you've got all this history at this just fantastic golf course, and you are also staying in touch with what the modern golfer wants, and that was extremely evident with the inclusion of Top Tracer in your driving range recently. How did that decision transpire?
Well, it helped a little bit early on. I got there. I had been at a facility that had dynamic pricing, and that's something I really wanted to do. Hmm. Even mentioned it in the interview process, and I thought I would get some resistance. It was in the Chicago area. There's not a ton of public golf courses that are doing that yet. I was surprised. There are some markets where there's a lot of the public courses are already doing that. And that was a really easy ask. Immediately I was told we could run with that, got that done. It worked out like I had hoped it would. I think that greased the rails a little bit for the Top Tracer conversation. Mm-hmm. They came to us and said, hey, we have a deal where you know, we can give you a couple months of trial and put the equipment in and see what you think. And I just felt like once we talked about it that Cog Hill would be the perfect driving range for that that technology.
Yeah.
And there was a place nearby, Mistwood, mm-hmm. in our area that has it in a dome. But we would be effectively the first person in a kind of first golf course or range in the 30-mile radius or so that had outdoors. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, really wildly successful until we had to close.
right. Well, and it's a fantastic addition. I mean, you have a fantastic practice facility, first of all. As I already said earlier, I'm there way too often, and you know, I wish my game reflected that. But in the same token, you know, having Top Tracer there, I mean, it's always fantastic to see a driving range full of all walks of life. I mean, there's you know, no stereotypical golfers there. It's everyone out there just trying to improve themselves or just, you know, have a good time. And it's a little bit of a different atmosphere than the other location that you mentioned earlier. You know, it's not in a dome. There's not a restaurant right there close to the driving range, but people can go and still actually get all the metrics that they want. They can have fun. There's a gamification element to Top Tracer. And it's right. Just, it's really encouraging to see that, of course, the stature of Cog Hill is keeping in tune with customers.
Yeah, and I think the technology part of it is a surprise. I expected the younger generations to really embrace that portion of it, but I think it's made me a believer, and I'm a 56-year-old guy, so I'm not a young dude. Mm. But I love technology when it makes sense and it's applicable. I mean, it's something that somebody can use, makes their life easier. I don't believe, you know, I have a daughter that's a part almost in that millennial range, and I don't believe that all the technology is super useful. But if you come out with a piece of a technology like this, you'll see guys my age or older out there using that on their mobile device because it allows you to store all of your statistics from when you hit the golf ball and where they go and what the distance is and how far offline. And it's really been a game leveler for us on that point, is that it's not just the younger people who like that technology. That's for sure.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I'm there, And there's usually, you know, sometimes there's a brief wait. It's not a long wait by any means, but I'll be just sit kind of hanging back waiting for a stall to open, and I'll see somebody hit a shot, and then they'll look at the screen to see how far they hit it, and then they frown, and then they look down at their golf club, and they're like, I only hit it that far? But I think you're right. I mean, that it is the great equalizer. I mean, yeah, man, that's how far you actually hit that club. So it's, I think people are learning more about their games too, which is absolutely a fantastic thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, even this little part, like somebody asked me, what's the putting like on Top Tracer? And it's like, it's as you know, it's a if you're playing one of the games, like the virtual games, it's chipping, you know? And I don't know, that's the worst part of my game because I don't play as much golf anymore as I'd like to. But it's going to, if I do that a lot, it's going to make me a better player because I literally need to practice those 50 to 70 yard shots. And that's your putting in that game. So I think they set that up probably with some foreknowledge about that. But it certainly helps me. Hopefully I'll see some gain from that, like you said.
Well, once again, listeners, we're talking to Troy Newport. He's the general manager over at Cog Hill. Troy, you mentioned the aesthetics of the course. And I have to say, one of my favorite places in Illinois, and I mean this sincerely, is walking up 11, going towards the 11 green on Dubs Dread. And then, of course, the overlook on 12. It's absolutely breathtaking to see all of the hills in this part. I think we live in the hilliest part of Illinois here in Lamont. And it's just absolutely fantastic. But, you know, aside or in addition to Top Tracer, and there are so many other events that Cog Hill does every single year, there's other ways that you're utilizing the golf course to reach out to the community, such as a farm-to-table dinner that I know listeners have heard us talk about on the show before.
Yeah, that's interesting because there's a legend out there. I don't know who started this, but somebody said between the tip of Lake Michigan and the Mississippi River, the highest point on this line falls on the golf course somewhere. I don't know if that's true or not.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, somebody's going to hopefully write back and say, yeah, it's not even close, doofus. But but that's, I mean, you're right. There's a spot there behind the 11 green where you stand on and where you guys had the farm dinner was not too far beyond that. On what we call Pork Chop Hill. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know. They were calling it that for like 2 months before I even knew, was smart enough to ask why they call it that, realizing later that when they told me that that's where they sold pork chops during the Western Open and the W Championship. So there was literally a stand there that sold pork chops on a stick.
Yep.
And it is an unbelievable spot. I was there that evening to watch. I didn't get a chance to sit down and eat like the rest of you folks did, but it was a cool evening in a nice, in a really great spot. You talking about the bottom behind 11 green, mm-hmm. that's, we're thinking about putting some selfie spots.
Oh, basically, nice.
And that would be, that's gotta be one of them, right? I mean, that's a really great place to get that downhill slope. It's like a mini North Carolina type shot where you have those hilly courses with the trees below you. So, that part of the golf course is really gorgeous.
Oh, it's absolutely breathtaking. And, you know, shout out to Angelica and Chris, you know, who are part of the staff over there who helped make that happen, because you've also got the farm that's behind, where, if I remember correctly, where once the Western Open was there, where all the parking was, that's where the
correct
farm
that's
is now.
The parking areas. Yeah. And then, like I said, I was out for we had some music there. We had the invitees were having some cocktails in the farm area. And then Angelica and Chris have done a great job of incorporating a lot of different types of herbs and plants and things that we can use. We've used some for the kitchen. We've used them for the farm dinner. And I know Angelica has plans to, you know, further enhance what's out there. We actually were going to do, before all this came up, going to do like a not a farm dinner, but like an appetizer night and with a local vendor here, possibly Wooden Paddle. I've met Jonathan. I know. And so that was something, and we will do it at some point. It's just a matter of whether it's going to happen on the original timeline or not.
That's great news. And I've gotten to know John pretty well over at Wooden Paddle. And listeners, if you're local to the area, by the way, I mean, come out. We got a nice little area out here in Lamont, Illinois. Wooden Paddle's a fantastic, you know, I would say artisan, I guess I'll use that word. Pizza parlor in town.
And craft cocktails, which I'm not interested in at all. I'm just telling you.
You know, have you taken advantage of their carryout for their craft cocktails, by the way?
I have not, but I heard that it's available. That's really cool.
Dude, you have to. You absolutely have to. There's nothing like getting a scofflaw bourbon drink, you know, just picking that up. Yeah. So anyway, With Coghill, and obviously there's a lot of great stuff that's going on, and we are in this weird time. We've referenced it a few times here, Troy, and I think, let's just call it what it is. We know many people in this industry right now that are struggling. And there, I think even this week, at the time of this recording, I heard of another major brand going through furloughs, what have you. Everyone is thinking about, okay, well, how is golf going to survive this? You know, right now, I think they will, of course. I'm very hopeful with that, and I'm sure you do too. Golf has gone through many worse things in its existence. But in the same token, you know, we are in a state right now, probably rightfully so, I would have to say, that's up for debate, that is shelter in place, and that means that there's no golf. So how is Coghill doing right now? I know that you, for example, at least at the time of this recording, it's Easter Sunday in a couple days. You were offering carryout for Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, just real quickly before we get to that, I mean, sure. You know, I had the first couple real personal situations with me. I had a PGA professional that when I first worked in Florida who was with a golf school down in that area where I was, and his whole group kind of took me under their wing, and he's my age. I think Dave was 58 or 59, passed away recently from the virus. And, so I mean, that really kind of, that hit home with me, knowing that this is happening all over the place, but until it's someone you literally know, you know, it is a little different for sure. But I mean, I just think that right now the biggest issue for us is having trust that the Gym Six have been awesome during this time. They're trying to do everything they can to keep folks busy and employed. We've got folks working from home who are our event managers. We are able in Illinois to continue to maintain the golf courses, which I was mentioning to you before we were recording that in Minnesota they weren't allowing them to do that. That would be a nightmare scenario for us. I mean, just to have that big a property and not be able to, and just to have to let it grow up, that would be, I don't know if I could see that or watch it. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for us is just trying to, you know, we're usually in planning mode in February and March. And it's just it's stretched out another 30 to 60 days. And knowing that our 2020 is going to be way different. So my goal as a general manager is help the owners find ways to control expenses, deal with the business that we do have coming. It's going to all shift to the fall and late summer. And that's the most challenging time for us typically to get help, have employees, because of schools, being back.
Well, and I do imagine that there's a lot of timelines that are being pushed back. And I think fall is what everyone's kind of thinking about right now. I mean, even, you know, Augusta, for example, they're thinking about the Masters in November, for crying out loud. And I do think that the way that people not only play golf, but the way that there's going to be a new normal for a little bit, and people are going to be a little weary being around folks. I mean, I just went to Jewel a little bit ago before we started recording today, and everyone's kind of looking at each other cross-eyed, and and I think, you know, that those are all things that even for a public game, a social game like golf, you have to take into consideration. And it sounds like, you know, you're already planning for that as eventually this shelter in place gets lifted.
Yeah. And I'm just basically saying to all of our staff and to the ownership, saying, if we can get, you know, I want to get four people on a tee. Yeah. If we can do that 18 times all at once, that would be awesome. But, four people on a tee, they can stay their own distance and they can go out and play the game and be outside and I think be safe. The hard part is just even for November at the Masters is, you know, there won't be a vaccine by then, more than likely. So it's just a matter of, you know, how are they going to make sure people are safe, and how are the people who are more concerned about things for whatever reason, whether their age or their health conditions or whatever, how are they going to stay involved in golf?
And, you know, Troy, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would be remiss not to at least bring up the Long Drive Championship. You know, back in January, when things seemed normal, when we were all at the PGA merchandise show, I know that word came out that, you know, Coghill would host a World Long Drive event. And then this pesky pandemic hit. To the point that you just brought up, the fact that there would need to be crowds of people around each other. I would imagine that the timeline has been affected, but I could be wrong. Where do things stand right now with that progress with the World Long Drive?
Well, they just came out with an announcement the other day. They're going to basically the qualifiers and most of the tour events that they hold throughout the season have already been canceled. Mm-hmm. But we were in touch, and we still are in touch with NBC Sports, who owns the franchise for World Long Drive Championship. And for folks who don't know that, they've been very great about us building the grid and where we were going to build it and what it was going to look like. And so that event for September 3rd through 9th is still on their books and still a go at this point. It is the kind of thing, as you know, Adam, that if you didn't have any spectators, the real thing for this event is it's on the Golf Channel. It's on, it's televised, the two nights, the two final nights. So I'm sure there's some discussion at their level about, do we want to have spectators? Certainly we do. We want to have it. We want Chicagoland to be able to see this in all its glory. The athletes are awesome. The show is awesome. They've got fireworks. They've got, people hitting it a million yards. And it's a fun, we thought it would be a really fun thing for Cog Hill to have, like perfectly in our wheelhouse of growing the game, getting people interested in it in a different way. And so it's still on, is the short answer there. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Well, I think NBC is going to make the final decision on it. We've not put so much money into building a grid that it's going to be a big issue for us if we have to move it back to another year. We were contracted with them, not in written form, but we talked with them about doing 5 years of events. So if it doesn't happen in 2020, which we would all hate, but if it doesn't, we're going to be back at Cog Hill with that event.
That's great news. And I know I will do anything I can to be there, because I was overjoyed at the prospect of being able to see that type of event over at Cog Hill. And speaking of events, obviously the PGA Tour had a stronghold, or at least they were a constant presence for many years over at Cog Hill at Dubs Dread, with the Western Open, then of course the BMW Championship. And, obviously the PGA Tour has not been there for a number of years. But thinking ahead, let's just say that, the World Long Drive goes off and it's absolutely fantastic in September. And I know that you're probably thinking in the future as well, could we see another professional event at Cog Hill in the future?
Well, you probably can't imagine the number of times I've been asked that question in the year that I've been at Cog Hill.
Yeah.
And so then multiply that by about a million for the Gem Six times that they get asked that question. Let me give you what's great about podcasting. This is I can give you my as unvarnished opinion.
Sure.
I can say that, it seems to me as a PGA golf professional and following this all along, that it's become, more of a private club type of event. Particularly the BMW Championship. I think, frankly, the players expect different things than they can get at public facilities in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I think that all the stuff that made Cog Hill a great place to host the event have not changed. Mm-hmm. Dubs is still, obviously there were some complaints about the golf course from some high-level golfers. But if you're out there, it still could hold that kind of event. It's long enough. It's challenging enough. We've got enough parking. The market is it would absolutely love to see it back there. So I don't think it's out of the question. I think it's one of those things that the cards all have to fall in the right order for us. And I'm you're the first person I will say mention this. But yeah, the long drive thing would give us some exposure on the television market wise that might put us back in front of some people. Mm-hmm. And you never know. I mean, I think Catherine Gemsix is interested in hosting other events if they become available to her. But that's the one, they'd love to have that tour event back there.
Yeah, and we would love to see it too, obviously. I mean, it's just a fantastic golf course. It was a shame when it left. And I think, you're right, obviously, with the World Long Drive. Once that goes off, you're going to get a lot of exposure. People are going to be reintroduced, so to speak, because there's just such a budding group of younger players even who may not have experienced Cog Hill. I mean, the course is on video games, for crying out loud, kids.
Exactly. Well, not with that, but they were planning, and I hope still get a chance to do this, to do some special interest type focus features during the long drive, and one of them being Joe Gemsick a senior winning that long drive contest from the top of a of a tower during the 1934 World's Fair. And they were going to do a feature on that. We've got some photos from it. We've got some other things that we're going to promo that. So it was going to be a great tie-in for us. He was always he always loved the fact that he was one of the longer hitters at that time, and could kind of brag about that. And I always tell people ask me what's my favorite part of the game. Hitting the driver has always been my favorite part of the game too. So I was looking forward and am looking forward to seeing that here in Lamont and in Chicagoland.
Once again, folks, we're talking to Mr. Troy Newport. He is the general manager over at Cog Hill. And Troy, thank you so much for taking time today. And I know that it's an uncertain time right now, but the work that you have done, even in your short time at Cog Hill, is exemplary. I can tell you that as a fellow Lamonster, is that what they call us in Lamont?
They do. Yeah, I like that.
I love.
It's a little Lady Gaga like.
I love everything that you're doing over there. Keep it up. I have to ask you one final question before I let you go.
Sure.
I noticed on social media you like your cigars. I do as well. What's your favorite cigar?
You know, I've got some go-tos, but I've always kind of been in love with the Monte Cristo company. You know, when I first started learning to smoke cigars, the Platinum series was a big deal at that time. But I will, you know, I will pretty much try anything somebody puts in my hand. But I don't. I wouldn't say I'm not at all a once a day kind of guy. But mm-hmm. I do love the time that is needed in order to enjoy a great cigar. So nobody's going to interrupt me for 45 minutes or an hour while I'm sitting outside and enjoying that. So I'm a Monte Cristo guy. I love the My Father company. They make some great stuff too. Mm-hmm. That's the Garcias. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's great. I don't know, and I don't try a lot of different stuff because I kind of found the things that I like, but we'll have to enjoy a cigar together sometime.
Oh, absolutely. And we're getting into that. We're getting into that peak season right now where you could actually sit out on the porch, and that's fine. I mean, we could social distance and have a cigar out on the porch.
I got a spot right here in front of the house. So we move the chairs 6 feet apart, and everybody's good.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, man. All right, folks. Well, once again, that was Mr. Troy Newport, the general manager over at Cog Hill. Troy, we will do more of this, as we already talked about, and I just want to thank you for coming on the show for the first time.
Appreciate it, Adam. It's been great. We do look forward to a continuing relationship with your blog and your presence. And, you know, we're having a good time.